Do you dread coming up with client gift ideas every year? Do you feel like there's too little budget or time to come up with something that your client won't just throw away? Welcome to Growing a Fruitful Brand, where we discuss how to create and grow a brand that makes the world a better place for you, your customers, and your employees. I'm Ben Luters, founder and art director of Fruitful Design and Strategy, and this is my business partner and brand strategist, Raj Lula. Today, we're talking about client gifts that don't suck. You know, traditionally, there's kind of like these two schools of thought that, you know, most companies kind of practice when it comes to client gifting. What are they, Raj?
Yeah, so the first thought is what you'll see most companies do. I call it the traditional school of thought, where you put your logo on something cheap, and then you just make a whole bunch of them because brand recognition matters above all else. I think this feels very kind of, old school. It usually doesn't end with something good. It's a lot of plastic waste. I think this direction is going to go away. I hope this direction goes away. Mm-hmm. The other school of thought is what I would call the debranded approach. There's probably other names for it, but that's where you buy your client something really nice and just count on them using it in their life. And so this is a little bit more like a hotel concierge or something, kind of that approach to thinking through your client, giving them a really good experience.
It's like the fancy cutlery set or something like that they'll use all the time.
And you're just counting on them using it and then remembering that you're the one who bought it for them. So you don't even need to put your logo on it. Mm-hmm. There's definitely positives to that approach, but of course then it's a little bit of a gamble, you know, because people don't have great memories. Like even we talk a lot about how when you reach out for referrals, it's such an uncomfortable thing to do. But almost every time you do it, somebody goes, "No, we love you guys. We talk about you all the time." And you go, "Okay, well, just a reminder. We do branding, messaging, websites, and so if you know anybody who's like a service based business or is going through a transition of some kind, by the time you're even done talking, they go, "You know what? Actually, I have an idea." And so when it's that hard to get people to remember you anyway, this higher end luxury approach to gifting, first of all, is really time consuming. It's more expensive and can be, kind of suspect in the value of it. Don't get me wrong. I think there are times when it's really, really appropriate, like a thank you gift or something like that. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking more about like holiday gifts or, gifts around like an open house or something like that, I think that there is a way that kind of blends the two approaches, but in a way that's modern, it's not wasteful. We call it the fruitful way because, you know,
of course,
why not?
Got to brand it.
and it kind of comes down to one simple rule. Only put your brand on a gift if it enhances the usefulness and enjoyment of your client. And so the idea is really just make good things. And if it makes sense to put your logo on them, then do it. And if it doesn't, then don't. It's pretty simple in that way. Some of the most successful gifts that we've ever done are these little guys right here. Yeah. This is a good video or this is a good episode if you're watching or if you're listening to watch on video. But if you're driving or something, don't, you know, pull up YouTube and crash your car. We're going to put these up on a landing page called at fruitful.design/gifts. Mm-hmm. And we'll show pictures of all the stuff we're talking about. And so, you know, you can keep listening and we'll describe things in audio format for you. But holding up these boxes of cards right here, they're fruitful conversation cards. I'm going to open one of the boxes here. And so they on the backside, they are, you know, it says fruitful conversations. It's got our logo really small on there. On the front side, it's got all these questions. There's no way you can even possibly see that on the video. This one is, if you won a gold medal for something that isn't a real Olympic event, what would it be for?
The podcast just changed. Let's talk about it.
For you, it would be good sweaters, good hair.
Oh, thanks, Raj.
There's so many things.
I don't want to say what yours would be. Probably something about puns or irreverent humor.
I just told a great joke about about yams earlier. in those cases, so we actually came up with those questions. It was inspired by a deck that we'd used to have good conversations with our kids at the dinner table. And I thought, hey, I'm a writer. I could do this, come up with some prompts. And then, it's also a great pun, but not a cheesy one, of having a fruitful conversation.
Right. Who doesn't want that?
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, this gift has been so successful that we've had other clients reach out to see if they could buy more copies. We've had people ask if they could, you know, kind of co-brand it with their brand, which we have done, mm-hmm. hope to do more of in the future. And so it's been a really, really successful gift. We get asked for this all the time. And I've seen pictures of these as far away as Colombia. And like they've made it around the world. So very, very cool. Way to do gifting there. Another favorite, this might actually be my personal favorite design that we've ever done in terms of gifts. It's a poster that is very difficult to get to stay. There we go, straight. It says, have a fruitful morning. We used to, instead of doing cocktail parties, that kind of stuff, we used to do all of our open houses in the morning with breakfast foods. In part because breakfast foods are cheap and we were a small company.
And the morning's the best part of the day, let's be real.
Oh, that's your Olympic event right there. That's a hot take.
I mean, breakfast foods are the best foods, man.
There's a good argument to be made there. So Fruitful Morning, it was called Fruitful Morning. So we, instead of just making an invitation that said, you know, please come to our thing called Fruitful Morning, we instead made a poster that would, even if people didn't come to the event, it says really cheerfully, have a fruitful morning.
Right.
And I have seen this piece of merch in more clients' offices than anything else that we've done.
Right. Because it's obviously, it's, you know, in a way it's branded as fruitful, but it's like also just great art too, yeah. You know, that people, you know, who doesn't want to be rewarded every day to have a fruitful morning.
Yeah. And can I point out too, if you're just listening, you're not going to be able to see it, but if you are watching it, you know, we didn't use our logo as the word fruitful, which right. I think was really, really important. We used our name, sure. And it looks more similar to what our logo is now, but at the time, our logo did not look like that.
That's true.
It was a different typeface. And so it was very purposefully tailored to the client of have a fruitful morning. Just, it was a phrase. It wasn't a have a fruitful morning with fruitful design. Wink. So yeah. Like that for that reason. Why don't you talk about this one, the fruitful shirt here. This is also quite popular. I've seen this. Shauna Dorsey posted wearing it at the 5K races that she's been doing. I've seen these posted kind of all over the place. A lot of people's favorite gym t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, so this is kind of going a little bit of a different direction in that this is our logo. It's just our logo big on a shirt, but it's a nice shirt. First of all,
really comfy,
You know, we, you know, went a little all out on, you know, a Bella canvas shirt. That's actually, we've got like, you know, a special printed tag on the inside that we design. And there's also just, since we're talking about t-shirts, you know, don't just do a cheap Gildan t-shirt, like get a shirt that you felt and that you know is like a premium material. We recommend a tri-blend. Also, this is like a little designer hack for you, but we always make sure to ask for the logos printed on our shirt with no underbase.
Yeah.
Underbase is basically them printing, you know, this like white coating underneath the stuff that makes the logo or the design stand off and have that kind of crunchy
plasticky feel
that you either hate or maybe you love. I don't know if that's your thing. For us, this is going to fade a lot like more naturally over time. And, you know, so this one is definitely just, you know, putting your logo on something nice. But I think one of the reasons why this works so well is because the logo is so nice, you know, and people are excited to rep your brand if it looks nice and if they love you as well.
Also, can I say, let's just stick with this for just a minute, because a couple of things that I like about it a lot is that you may not be able to tell on video, but it's not a flat black t-shirt. It's got a heather to it. So this is actually called heather black, meaning it's kind of that speckled thing. A lot of people will go route one with a t-shirt, which is white t-shirt, color logo on it.
Right.
Awful idea. White t-shirts get so dirty. People don't tend to wear them for very long. So
the pit stains are nice. I mean, like that brings a little bit of color
the
in
yellow
over time, and you get that natural patina. So, I mean, I have to push back a little bit.
And so often I would recommend a gray or a black or whatever, depending on what your brand colors are too. One thing that I hate to see is, you know, like I won't throw anybody under the bus except for I totally will. our kids at school did an orange shirt with a purple logo on it. And I was like, it's loud. The whole thing is just really loud.
David S. Pumpkins loved that shirt.
One thing I did want to mention on that shirt was, Ben mentioned it, but it was really, he just glossed over it. Printing the tag custom. Oh, so it's a tagless shirt, but it actually on the inside has our, you know,
if you can see this.
Yeah. Good. It's branded again, but it's with our Fruitful Goods logo. We'll talk about that in a second. But then also has the size on there. Mm-hmm. So it's not just losing the tag, but we got rid of the scratchy tag. And even at that, Canvas's tags are better than most, but mm-hmm. I hate a tag inside a t-shirt. And
yeah, I'm wearing a Heather Forest green Bella canvas right now, and it has the little tag in the back, and it's a squirrely little guy. I wish it was tagless. I'm about to chop all the tags off of my other Bella canvas shirts.
And so the point being, with this kind of branded approach to swag, you can do it in a way that feels retail quality. And that's the standard, in my opinion. If it's the same kind of quality that somebody could buy at the store, then it's okay to put your logo on it. If not, mm-hmm. I think you're selling yourself and your client short at that.
I think this travel mug kind of plays that same kind of a game, basically. So this is like a 360... a drinkable travel mug. It fits in your cup holder. It's made by Mir, which has become a very popular brand, kind of up there with, you know, Yeti and Stanley, et cetera. So it's not a cheap, knockoff brand by any means. It's just as expensive as those. But, you know, we have...
Slightly more affordable than Yeti.
Yeti. But we have like, our Fruitful badge logo on one side, and then our tagline, Grow Something Good, on this side, and it's etched in. You want to talk about this one a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, so I was actually literally the other day, because I'm a nerd about these things, looking at the Wirecutter's reviews of travel mugs.
Yeah.
And the Yeti mug that we've used for First National Bank and for ourselves and, you know, for some other folks, is consistently rated really, really high. Mm-hmm. I love the Yeti mug with the mag slider lid. Yeah. I wish I would have brought mine today, but
I know, sorry,
but I didn't. And so that's a great, great mug, but Mir was reviewed in the same article as that. And mm-hmm. the Wirecutter didn't particularly love that the 360 lid, sometimes it's a little hard to tell if it's open or closed, just visually.
That's true. I've definitely had that problem.
But otherwise, it's a great mug. And so the fact that something you can easily buy and brand and is more affordable than the Yetis, it's retail quality. And so... I like that. We like Mir for that reason. I love a Yeti mug. If you're willing to splash out, you know, 30, 40 bucks a mug, which is, you know, can be a little steep. Another thing to talk about here is that in order to kind of deal with this, do we put our logo on it or not problem, is we actually created a sub brand for us called Fruitful Goods.
Yeah.
And Ben's going to show a t-shirt right now that it's a gray t-shirt. Again, no white t-shirts. If
nice Heather gray.
If your audience really likes wearing white t-shirts for whatever reason, do it. But otherwise, great Heather gray t-shirt. Again, soft tri-blend here. No underbase, so it's not a crackly logo on it. Looks like a cool band t-shirt, you know? Like, in fact, it actually looks very similar to a t-shirt that I got from the Lone Bellow when I went on tour. I would get those mixed up in my drawer, which is a great problem to have. I thought I was grabbing the band t-shirt. No, it's a Fruitful t-shirt. That means you're in the right direction. We have a mug with that same Fruitful Goods logo on it as well. So, and this actually preceded our current logo. And so even though
this actually kind of inspired and informed our rebrand was when, you know, we, Nick Fredrickson, hand lettering artist, was working on our team. He helped us create this brand. And then we tried lots of different things, and we kind of came back to this as like, this feels like Fruitful. This is us. And so this is really kind of the first iteration of the logo you see right behind on the screen.
It helped us evolve our own brand. And but it was driven by this idea, is this has got to be good enough that you could buy in a store. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, that helped push us in that direction for our own branding.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you come up with good gifts like that? We're going to give three rules. We always try to give, you know, like three solid points for you to think through this idea of or whatever idea we're talking about. But today, how do we think about giving good gifts? Number one is what I call the golden rule of gifting. And it's take off of the traditional golden rule, but in gifting, it's give unto others as you would have them give unto you.
Yeah, what would you actually want?
Yeah, I'll tell you for sure what I don't want.
This is Raj's favorite.
No cheap pens. Like, I don't know. If you're a person who uses cheap pens, I mean, good for you. But I write for a living. And a lot of us do. Like, we live in an information society. Like, writing things down. First of all, people don't write a lot of things anyway. And if they do, it's usually an important note to themselves or something. And you're going to give them a pen that, like, explodes in their hand or, is just... It's that horrible plastic that, breaks easily. Mm-hmm. And you're putting your logo on that. Like, I absolutely do not understand that move.
Yeah, we've actually avoided, doing pens altogether, just mainly because of this, agreeing on the right pen. And we'd want something that's definitely more premium and probably wouldn't want to print our logo necessarily on it either.
In fact,
it was done really well.
When we do pens, we've never printed anything on a pen for ourselves. And when we do pens, what we'll actually do is we'll brand the notebook because notebooks are easier to brand in at a higher quality. We'll do like a Moleskine notebook that we've branded and then just give away a Pilot G2 pen.
Yeah.
Because it's a great pen.
Right.
And so I would rather them have a great experience with it and then brand something next to it than to brand a terrible pen. Not to mention, people do all sorts of weird things with pens. They put them in their mouth, all that kind of stuff. Like, do you really want your logo to be half chewed off? Like, It's not a very great gift traditionally, and even on a nicer pen. Like, what do you, it's like, I'm going to give somebody a Mont Blanc and then screen print my logo on it.
I wouldn't mind someone giving me a Mont Blanc. 100%, I'm telling you right now, that's the kind of pen I want to have. Yeah. Right.
So,
a nice fountain pen or something.
Not something that I would do. It's in my personal, not on the golden rule of gifting. We already talked about scratchy t-shirts. It's a bad look. Bad notebooks and calendars and those kinds of things. Like, for me, basically, if it comes with a spiral bound, it's out. Not to say there aren't any nice spiral bound notebooks, but you all know what I'm talking about. You go through the merch people's website and you're like, oh, this one I can get for $1 a unit. And then it's just like add to cart and put our logo on it. And no, like, do you know how many thousands of dollars your company paid for your logo? And then you're like, you know what? I'm going to put it on the worst thing I can possibly do.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
What about USB drives? Those are really hot these days, I've heard. You can just go and put files on it, put on a lanyard around your neck. No, of course, I'm being facetious for those of you who can't see my face. But it was funny as I was looking at these old pictures of me when I was like going to college. Like, I always had a USB drive around my neck on the SanDisk like lanyard, and seeing these pictures, I could see like the lanyard peeking out from under my polo shirt. And I'm like, what was I thinking? But I was always ready. I always had my school projects ready to go.
Real hit with the ladies at that time. Yeah.
That's what it was, kind of my equivalent of like a gold chain or something like that. I felt pretty cool.
The designer equivalent of a gold chain.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
This was pre-cloud.
Oh, it was a gold plated USB drive. And that would be fine, actually. So. Anyways, don't do it.
And can I just say, I was really, really vindicated a few years ago when they came out with that article that said that those airport charging stations and stuff, that they realized that those are completely hackable, like that you could download information from people's phones when they use public chargers. And it's like, yeah, no duh. It's like, I'm going to plug a USB thing into my device that has all of my photos and contacts and all this kind of stuff in a public space and expect that nothing bad's going to happen. Like, a lot of you won't even swipe your credit card at the gas station because of the skimmers on a gas station thing. It's like, but yeah, let me just go ahead and plug my entire life into an airport charger. Like, what could possibly go wrong? Kind of same thing here. Don't give people sketchy USB drives and honestly USB drives at all. But also the really bad power banks, the little battery packs that have the 85 Swiss Army attachments, none of which are very good and they all break. And just don't give bad stuff. Literally, this is the golden rule of gifting. Just don't do things to other people that you wouldn't want to get. If you would not be happy getting this gift, in the mail, like literally happy, not just like, oh, that's nice. But if you wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, that was thoughtful.
Well, I think part of this is it takes a little bit of imagination, though. A little bit of role playing of like putting yourself in the shoes of, because it's easy to think about what you would want, but you're not necessarily your client, and so they may have things that they're into that you wouldn't be into. I think a great one that I think you should pull out actually is the belt buckle. We did this belt buckle for a client of ours, the NSG, New Stockyard Group. And they, you know, their audience, I don't know if you can see that box.
There's a gold foil to it.
Yeah, look at that gold foil.
It's actually kind of a copper color foil here.
Can you pull the buckle out?
I will, yeah.
So basically, their audience is ranchers. Experience. And ranchers love, you know, belt buckles. And, you know, think of ranchers out in western Nebraska and stuff like that. We made this ornate belt buckle. Oh yeah, look at that shine for those watching gorgeous. The video.
It's kind of a copper color.
Yep.
And it's
real solid. I mean, the thing is heavy.
It's engraved. Or is it debossed? Is that the?
Yeah, I think technically it'd be debossed, but it looks like it could have been, you know, hand tooled or something like that.
Yep.
Definitely, you know, a little bit more premium. But you know, that's not a gift. You know, Raj and I aren't wearing this belt buckle every day, but you should have seen people's faces light up when this thing went out in the room when they unveiled the brand. This kind of accompanied the announcement of the brand in a public, you know, in a in-person setting. And they had interns walk around and hand out these gifts. And it made a big splash. And
it's a big
pretty,
reveal.
Pretty cool thing. Definitely a premium thing that you don't get every day. That's very special and very tailored. And so I think part of it is like, you know, putting yourself in the shoes of your client, or if, you know, in our case, we were designing for our client's kind of client. And so it just takes a little bit of imagination of kind of putting yourself in their shoes. You know, what they like, they probably still wouldn't like crappy pens though. So.
No, 100%. No. Like it's just
every once in a while you might find someone, but in general.
So knowing your audience, thinking about what you would enjoy if you were them. And then I would say going another step further, think of things that might relieve stress for them. So, you know, it could be, you know, with that client, we actually did the Yeti mugs because, you know, we got folks driving around in trucks from cattle field to cattle field. Mm-hmm. And so you need a mug that if you accidentally leave it on top of the truck, it's not going to just disintegrate the second it hits the gravel road.
Right.
And so you need something that will stand the test of time. And Yeti's a brand that these folks might use anyway for coolers, for, you know, any camping supplies, that kind of stuff. And so it made sense in their world and their life. I am not very outdoorsy, but I love that mug. And so think about something that might relieve stress, but then also think of something that might feel like a treat or extravagance, such as, you know, like the belt buckle, for example. Like who's going to make their own custom belt buckle? It's just not likely to happen. So something like that, something that they might just really enjoy. I've got a cheaper example here. This is from Ren Motion, from our buddy Jacob Willis over there at Ren Motion. This is a logo that we made, but we didn't actually make this piece of merch. It's just a screen cleaner, which I think is brilliant. It's got his logo on both sides. It's the same green as his brand. And it's got two different versions of his logo on each side. I don't know who printed these, but these are really great. And one thing I really like about it is that he makes videos, and watching a video on a dirty screen is a bad experience. So he actually helped them enjoy his product more on a clean screen. And
I wonder if he thought that all the way through.
I don't know.
It's brilliant. If you're listening, Jacob, great job.
Yeah. I'm just going to assume you're a genius.
Yeah.
So I
think what it came down to is like, because I feel like him and I have talked about this, like he just always wanted one himself, like for cleaning his camera screens, and he wears glasses, and like, you know, it was just like one of those things where he's like, man, where's my screen cleaner, you know, kind of a thing. And it's like, I bet other people have that same problem. And that can be a good, you know, a good hunch often, you know, follow that. Like if there is something that, you know, I just wish I had that, that can be a good kind of thing to follow. Another thing that kind of comes to mind, we don't have an example today, but we've co-branded, so Hardy Coffee, here's a mug that we designed for them, but, Hardy Coffee, we've we've done co-branded packaging with our Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
And we've even done that with other clients for their gifts as well, partnering with Hardy Coffee. So that's literally where it's Hardy Coffee beans, and then we design a special label that goes on, branding the actual roast with your own design, have your logo, have Hardy's logo. It's this kind of co-branded thing that feels really good. Premium, small batch, hand roasted local coffee. And you get to kind of piggyback on that brand and that brand recognition too, which is super cool. And it just feels really premium, but it's not, you're paying wholesale prices for the coffee.
Yeah. And I don't know if we had anything to do with it, but one of the clients we did this with was a First National Bank. And I know for a fact that Clark Lauritsen, who leads the bank, wanted more coffee when his ran out of his gift box. Yeah. And of that Hardy coffee blend. And now Hardy has helped them redesign their coffee shop in the tower.
So cool.
And I assume serve Hardy coffee now. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I don't know if the mandate came from on high. I was like, you know what coffee I really want in the bottom floor of this building here?
Well, I know Clark's listening right now. And so we'll probably get an email.
No, but it's probably honestly the strength of Hardy Coffee's brand that made that whole thing possible. And it was great to be paired with somebody who's so well respected in our community as an entrepreneur and as a great coffee purveyor.
And it was a no-brainer for us since we've worked with them as actually a client. And so, we did the design for all their packaging and stuff like that. So it really made a lot of sense for us. But, for you in your own context and your own, where you're at, who you know, who are some, cool local companies that you could partner with to provide cool merch for your clients?
Yeah. So another thing that we've done, I'm not a big food as a gift person. I don't like that as a concept because, you send somebody, especially around the holidays, you send somebody something chocolate and maybe it's got your logo on it, or maybe it's in a bag that's got your logo on it. They eat it or it melts in their car or whatever. And then it's gone. So, even worse than the thing that you buy, the knife set or whatever that you buy that you hope they'll remember you. Nobody's going to remember you.
They remember you as they have the stomach ache and they're laying there or on the toilet. They do think of you then.
I also think it's just it's so route one when it's like, oh, it's the holidays. Let's buy sweets. And it's like,
right.
Everybody has that thought. So you get a million sweets at the holidays and you don't get any in July. Send me chocolate in July.
Send us chocolate. Now that's when it really melts. You don't have to worry so much around the holidays.
Send me a Coneflower Creamery gift card in July and you will be my best friend. I think food at the holidays especially is, can be a tough hang. However, I understand the drive to do it, especially if you are supporting local merchants. And that's one reason we like coffee is because it lasts longer. So you're talking a few weeks, depending on your coffee addiction, but you're at least a few days that somebody's using this. So it's not just a one-time experience. And hey, they may order more is another part of that. But if you are going to do something like that or use local vendors, things like candles, that sort of thing, one thing that we did was just brand the box. So for Abide here, I'm holding up a box and it's hand stamped with their logo on it. It's actually hand stained as well. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, even though this gift looks like it's about a $30 box, it was really affordable. We started with unstained boxes from Target and hand stained them. Mm-hmm. And then we had a custom stamp made for them. And the stamp was, I don't remember what, $50, something like that.
Oh, yeah, less than that. I mean, making a custom rubber stamp can actually be really affordable.
Yeah, and so you make the stamp one time. So it's say you're doing 100 of these gifts. You buy a $30 stamp and then, maybe $30 worth of ink. And then you stamp all of them. And so now you've kept your unit costs down really low.
Right.
But you are providing something that feels really premium.
And people keep these boxes. They use them for stuff, you know.
This one's probably 5 years old, and I had to dump stuff out of it in my office in order to show it on the podcast.
I've seen people using them as like monitor stands and stuff
also
like that.
Also being called out here.
Raj does that too. But like, yeah, it's kind of funny, like, you know, investing in just like, you know, the thing that is holding your gifts can actually be a really great gift in and of itself. And, you know, I think as we started by, we did this for ourselves and the client saw it. And then that's when Abide was like, oh, we want to do that. Yep. This is a great, you know, they had a bunch of different like local providers of different things they wanted to give out as their holiday gift. I was like, this is a perfect size container. You can fit anything.
Yeah, we did them for FNBO too.
Oh, that's right. So we've done this a few times now. Yeah. And you know, for this one in particular, it does take a little bit of extra work with the hand staining, et cetera. But it's that kind of thinking, like, what can I do that, you know, someone might reuse? What can I do that can, you know, make something feel more premium? You know,
what would I actually want?
Yeah, and I'd actually want, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and we definitely do want these because we don't like it when other people swipe them. You know, it's like Rock is always trying to protect his boxes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have to buy extras a few times and stain them.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's rule number one is the golden rule of gifting. Give unto others as you would have given unto you.
Yeah.
The second rule is to brand the year.
Mm.
And this is a little bit difficult because you have to think through the current events, even weather, you know, seasons, politics, culture, economy. But basically what you're trying to do is just if you were to take a big inhale and sniff, like, what does this year smell like? What does this year feel like? You know, a good example of this maybe going wrong would be, you know, in like giving a luggage tag during the pandemic.
You know, right. It seems a little tone deaf.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that'll be nice in a few years, hopefully. Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, well, we already had planned to do it and they were cheap and whatever. And you know, just not being thoughtful about it. And so you have to know that your gift is going to exist in an environment.
Right.
And so thinking about, is it politically heated this year? Is it, you know, was there some, you're not going to want to like send beach balls when there was just a massive tsunami or something like that.
Right.
You know, it's like stuff that just feels really tasteless, tactless. Even if you're like, no, that's not what we meant. We want you to have fun with your kids. Like if you find yourself in having to explain it,
right,
you've gone wrong. Now, usually it's not that bad. It's usually more just kind of things that are either too generic that don't pay any attention. Oh, let's send, you know, chocolate because it's Christmas. Or it's just things that haven't gotten far enough in the thought process of what does this year actually feel like?
And I think the thing that makes it tricky, the trickiest part to me anyways, is you're having to do this ahead of time too.
We start
you're
in
kind
June.
You're kind of having to predict. It's like, you know, which in our line of work, you know, we are always thinking about these kinds of things. We have to think, you know, 6 to 8 months ahead. But like, that can be the tricky thing is, you know, if you're starting thinking about Christmas gifting, holiday gifting in June, which you should be, by the way, we'll get to that. You know, it can be sometimes challenging to think, okay, what is this Christmas going to feel like? You know, not last Christmas. And how are they different? And for some people, it might be like, what's the difference? It's the holidays, you know, aren't they always kind of the same? But they're not really, you know, and I think that actually really kind of became really more clear to me as we went through the years of the pandemic. Each one of them was like a little bit different.
Yeah.
Christmas 2020 and Christmas 2022 were very different, and just kind of just the way they felt, the way we feel. And, you know, Raj has already kind of touched on politics. Like politics does play, you know, what's the election cycle? You know, what kind of things are going to be on the news?
Are people going to want coffee or alcohol, depending on
that's it? That's right. You know,
and it's not just Christmas either. Like every summer feels different. Every, you know, New Year feels different. Every Thanksgiving feels different. It's literally every, you know, think about, you know, the summer of, what was it, 2020 or 2021, with George Floyd and all those things.
Yeah. That's 2020.
You know, don't send beach balls out during that, you know, summer either, and just be like, it's hot, fun summer. And it's like, no, it's not
for everybody. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, so just be thinking about, you know, what does it feel like? One way that I like to kind of sharpen this conversation for ourselves is thinking, if I were to make a Super Bowl commercial right now or you know, for this Christmas or whatever, but a massive commercial, what feels appropriate for this year? Some years it's the Budweiser frogs. Let's be funny. Let's be a little silly. Other years it's the God Made a Farmer commercial that's black and white. And it's got somber music underneath it and all of that. And you can gift into those things. You know, one year I think it was 21, we did blankets because it was like, people shouldn't really still be going out that much. Mm-hmm. There's still, we're kind of wrapping up, you know, COVID stuff here. And so let's be home and cozy, but let's make that a little bit nicer. So we did blankets.
Mm-hmm. I wish I had one of those blankets to whip out, but I didn't get one.
And that's actually, me either. That's actually where the conversation card started. Was it like, hey, I know you've been around the same people for a while.
Yeah.
Can we help you have a better conversation?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
This year, just to give you insight to how we're thinking, you know, I think this is kind of the year of found family, of sort of choosing the people that you're with. You know, the last few years of pandemic life and all those things made us reevaluate a lot of relationships, including work from home, like our work relationships, our jobs, and then also what relationships we're investing with, maybe that, you know, blood ties don't feel as strong as, you know, faith ties or family or, you know, friendship ties or whatever. And so I think this is the year where people are going to sort of more purposefully choose who they want to be with. And so, you know, I'm hoping that this is sort of the year of the return of the Christmas party. And so kind of thinking through that, you know, are people going to want a good cheese knife or a, you know, or a charcuterie board, or, you know, what type of thing can you do that kind of plays into the feeling of the moment? Mm-hmm. And so think that way, you know, and you don't have to necessarily have the same assessment of the year as me. I'm also kind of thinking a little bit about the economy has been a little shaky, but it's not all bad news. In fact, hopefully we're avoiding the gloom and doom that they suggested. And so, yeah, again, hopefully maybe people are a little bit more almost like sort of post-World War II coming out of the shock and the horror of things and kind of rebounding a little bit.
Well, and I think one important thing to just keep in mind as Raj is saying all this stuff is, you know, he and all of us as a team, we're kind of assessing this from our own viewpoint and the viewpoint of our clients. And, you know, maybe your clients, they're kind of in a completely different world. They see things a little bit differently. Yep. And so
your industry could be hit really hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your industry could be really hit really hard, or it could be, you know,
booming,
doing great, you know? So it really kind of depends, you know, geographically, socioeconomically, there's so many factors that can really affect what that's like. And so you can't just, you know, This is what the brand of the year is for everybody. It's like, it's not really that way. Yeah. And so kind of depending where you are, you know, regionally, it can really vary.
One thing I do want to mention though, is that, look, nobody saw the pandemic coming. You know, there certainly were disease experts who knew that we would have one eventually, but nobody saw it happening exactly when it happened. And so we've never experienced it, thankfully, but there's going to be a year where you buy $5,000 worth of gifts that suddenly become tone deaf.
Mm, yeah.
And my recommendation to you would be dump them. Like, don't give them out. Either hold them for the next year. This is a good reason not to buy food as a gift, but either hold them for the next year.
Or eat a ton of cupcakes.
or give them away to a homeless shelter or, you know, or to Goodwill or to whoever. But, you know, if it's not the right season to do this, then don't do it just because you spent money on it. And that's true of everything. If you had a Super Bowl commercial that, you know, that suddenly became tone deaf because of something that happened in the world, pull the ad, even if you have to pull it for a iPhone pointed at your CEO telling you why you're not seeing a better ad right now. I'll bet that would be the best ad of the Super Bowl if you did that, because it's so relevant, so timely, so in tune with what your customers are experiencing.
Because this is ultimately a branding thing. I mean, this is like, You know, so if you have to like explain away, you know, what it is, like Raj was saying a minute ago, if you have to like try to defend, it's like, no, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It'd be better to do nothing than to do something that is, you know, completely tone deaf and possibly offensive.
Yeah. So last rule here, first rule was the golden rule of gifting. Second one was brand the year. Really think about the environment that you're giving into. And then the third one is buy less, spend more. And what I mean by that is it's better to give fewer gifts that are higher quality. Mm-hmm. Buy less, spend more. Now, this starts with determining your budget. I know that sounds super obvious, but you wouldn't believe how often we get clients who come to us and they say, we want to do gifts. Oh, cool. What's your budget? And they go, well, just give us some options and then we'll know. And then sometimes we'll spend hours and hours collecting, you know, Yeti mugs and all those things. And they're like, yeah, but do you have anything that's in the like $2 a piece range? And it's like,
would have been nice to have that a minute ago.
And this happens all the time with creative work, but also I'm sure it happens in your industry as well, where people don't think that they have a budget, but then they know what feels like too much. So my recommendation would be sit down with a number first. Also sit down with a client list and also think of, is it just clients or is it clients and vendors and key partners, people who refer sales to you? Who needs to be on this list? How many people are on that list? There's a really simple, obvious thing that you do next, which is divide your top total budget by the number of people that are going to be getting gifts. I would recommend, you know, probably 10, 20, 30% more than, because there's always the like, did anybody think of Mike? You know, and it's like, oh no, sorry, Mike. And so order a few extra. And if, even if you have extra, give them to your mom and dad. You wouldn't believe how much your parents or, you know, your employees' parents appreciate seeing that their kid works at a real company.
Our parents have definitely gotten some fruitful gifts before.
Yeah. My mom will text me every once in a while. She's like, can I get another tumbler? And it's like, yes, of course. Determine your budget, divide by the number of people who are going to be getting the gifts. Make sure to leave some room for extras. Also, don't forget postage if you're mailing stuff
the one that gets you.
So after all of that, now you know we're going to spend $10 a box. We're going to spend $20 a box, $50 a box, whatever your number is. And then you want to think about what options you could put in the box. Now, my recommendation would be to think about having one piece of the box or the gift be 60 to 75% of the total. Like, do one nice thing. And so even if it's literally the box itself, like, you know, like we did with Abide, sometimes it's filled with donations from local artisans or whatever, candles. And I'm trying to remember what all came in that box. It was wonderful. Everything they put in there is all local merchants, but, so it might be, 1 year we did a set of hand designed Christmas cards that Nick Fred, designed. Just think of what that like kind of cornerstone gift is going to be. 50 to 75% of your total budget, I think, should go to one thing. That's total budget after postage, of course. So that's what you should probably be spending. So if you got a $10 budget, what can I get for $7.50? If you've got a, you know, $50 budget, what can I get for $35-$40? And so then you're thinking, if you got a $50 budget, don't put $50 worth of $1 pens in there, you know, or whatever.
That's a great idea.
Buy one nice thing.
Yeah.
And the standard there is if I'm going to do a coffee mug or if I'm going to do a shirt, how confident am I that it's going to deserve a place in their cabinet? Mm-hmm. If I'm not 100% confident, I'm not going to do that gift. Because, you know, it's like these fruitful conversation cards deserve a place at the dinner table or on your conference room table. I think they're that good. We put that much thought into them. The funny thing is the gift itself is not necessarily all that expensive, but the amount of work that went into it to write 50 prompts to have good conversations, open-ended questions that aren't just going to end up with yep or nope or fine. How do you get past the kind of middle school filter of you know, a kid telling you about how their day is, and instead get to the heart of someone, but not in a way that's like awkward at the dinner table or conference room table. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And so therefore I have seen these cards earn a place at a dinner table, at a conference room table.
And I love, I've gone into people's homes and seen it there. I don't know if they just go and grab it before I walk in, but I've seen that.
At least
it wasn't
out of the trash though. it was in a cupboard.
Same with the Fruitful Morning poster. I've seen that just hanging on in people's kitchens and stuff like that. You know, it is pretty cool to see when people, you know, really just seem to cherish the things that you give them.
Yeah. If people have 10 mugs in their cabinet, does this deserve to replace one of them? The one that they got on their honeymoon, you know, from the Starbucks, and it's got the little city code on it or whatever. You know, the one that the kid made out of pottery and it leaks. You know, it's like,
I throw that one away so fast.
Does this mug deserve?
Oops, it broke.
It was broken to start. Does it deserve a place in the cabinet? One way to do that, and this is, honestly isn't the shameless plug that that it seems like, but you might need to hire a designer. You probably need to hire a designer. A lot of your merch people are really, really good at helping you find a good gift, like a great mirror mug. That's where we found those, with some great merch people like Bergman Incentives that we work with. But then what to put on it is a whole different thing. Sometimes these places, I don't know if Bergman does or not, so I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. Sometimes they have in-house designers who will throw the logo on there or whatever. But notice that, can you grab that mug? The biggest thing on our mug is not the Fruitful logo. It's this phrase that we use around here that, and in fact, we'll use it at the end of the podcast here. It says, grow something good. I don't know how to get it in focus here, but grow something good on the mug. And so the strategy of coming up with what's on it is as important as the thing itself, making it look good. One of my favorite examples here too is, you know, we have these Fruitful pins that I'm showing. I personally actually voted against this option because it was very hipster, very cool at one point to put enamel pins on your backpack. Probably still is. And I was like, I'm too old for this, but it's a very nice looking pin. You guys did a great job. And I've seen these all over the place too. I was wrong. But I mean, the
you're people, not wrong. You are not hip. I mean, you were right. This was not for you.
But one thing you'll notice is, that if you're watching, it's on a card that says Fruitful Goods Co. Our goods, sub brand here. On the back, the card is branded as well. And it's really just thoughtful, as opposed to coming just in a like cheap cardboard thing that, you know, it says made in China on it or whatever. It was thoughtfully done. Same with the removing the tag from the shirt and putting a designed tag. That took design time to make it a tagless t-shirt that you could still tell what the size was by just quickly looking underneath the underneath the lapel. So it's worth investing in the design of the thing. The boxes are a great example of that. The belt buckle is a great example of that. If you're going to do especially branded items, then you definitely need some professional help, both from designers and from professional merch people who know how to help you meet your budget with the options that are available to you.
So those are Fruitful's three rules for client gifting. And just to recap, we are talking about, you know, the golden rule, which is, you know, don't buy your client something that you wouldn't like yourself, to work hard to brand the year, to really, you know, think about like what does this year feel like? What will it feel like for our clients? And then to buy less and spend more, that, you know, fewer gifts that are higher quality is always going to be the better way to go. And so to close, if you haven't started thinking about holiday gifts, you probably should do that.
It's very late in the game.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Try to get on that as soon as you can. You know, when it comes to, you know, ordering things that are being custom made, I mean, it just takes time, you know, and if you're working with a designer and stuff like that, if you are intrigued by any of this and you want to, you know, work with us on this for next year for holiday gifts, might be a little late for this year. Don't hesitate to reach out.
And again, that site where we're going to have these gift ideas on there, fruitful.design/gifts. Would love to show you some stuff that we've worked on. It just inspire you. It doesn't matter if you choose to work with us or not, but we just, you know, we don't want the world to be full of stuff in the landfills that has your logo on it. It's a waste for you, for your company, for the planet, and it's just not worth it. So instead, work with designers, work with merch people who know how to help you get something that your clients will actually like. And that way, it's a better experience for your client. It's a better experience for you, and it's not wasteful.
Happy holidays. Thanks for joining us today on Growing a Fruitful Brand. If you found today's show helpful, don't forget to subscribe and consider sharing it with someone who might also enjoy it.
If you'd like to work with Fruitful on a branding, website, or messaging project of your own, you can always reach out on our website, fruitful.design.
But until next time, don't forget to grow something good.